Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Basketball Addicts Podcast. Today we will be going over a really good one today. This is me part two. You guys heard part one last week, so this is me part two of the series. This series is basically about coaches, man. We're breaking down the team talent of what they were last year, comparing it to the coaching talent, and then explaining, you know, maybe the XYZ team could have done better with a better coaching talent. You know what I mean? We're going to really give you guys a breakdown, because a lot of times people only judge a coach by wins and losses, but that's usually not reflective of what he's actually doing. So yeah, that's going to be a fun one today. So Chris, are you ready to start talking about this? You have anything to say before we start getting into this?
Let's get to it.
Okay. Well, the first one is somebody that's going to be really fun to talk about. We're going to talk about the Miami Heat first. It's the first team on the list. So we got offense. We got 95 talent-wise, their offense last year. I mean, we got Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. You got Gabe Vincent. Dear goodness, they had a lot of good guards. Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus shooting.
Yeah, Caleb Martin.
Caleb Martin showed up big, too. And defensive talent-wise, I'd give them a solid 96. Defensive talents for the Miami Heat, 96. Yes. Not quite as good as the year before, because the year before they did have PJ Tucker, right? Yeah. So they didn't quite have that double forward combo. It was more Kevin Love and that stretch four that they used this year, which led to them winning games. But, you know, still got Jimmy Butler, still got Bam Adebayo, gave Vincent's really great. You know what I mean? So this team still had a lot of defensive talent on it. And Eric Spoelstra, man, head coaching talent-wise last year, I gave him 100 offense, 100 defense. I mean, this guy's phenomenal. Yes. This guy, best coach in the NBA. I think we'd both agree on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, putting him on a 100 scale isn't fair. Like, maybe 105 defense, 105 offense. He's just special. this guy is a great X and O matchup guy. Yes. Extremely intelligent. Always giving you different looks. Understands what your weaknesses are. Attacks them viciously. Uses Jimmy Butler so well. Gets the most of his passing ability. Really developed. Jimmy Butler's passing ability does not get enough attention. That man can walk his way into 8 assists. It's just so special. He's really grown so much more into that aspect. He's a playmaker now. He uses Bam Adebayo perfectly. I can't think of another team that could get the most out of Bam offensively like Miami gets the most out of Bam. But Bam gives you 19, 18 a game extremely consistently. And they really, you know, they understand the weaknesses and they play to their strengths, which is the off-ball guard movement. Duncan Robinson off-ball screens. Tyler Herro off-ball screens. Max Strus off-ball screens. Those guys, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, doesn't really have more game than that, but defenses have to still think about stopping those off-ball screens because they're still a threat, right? They're special at it. They understand how to use playmakers. They have so many playmakers last year. They used Gabe Vincent so well. Development of young talent into talent that can play in the NBA championship. This guy's phenomenal. And defensively, I mean, dear goodness, he's an X and O's genius. Matchups, he'll take people's souls away. I mean, they made the Boston Celtics look super simple. They dissected the Boston Celtics defensively this year in the playoffs. It was insane to watch. They're special. They understand matchups. They understand how to break down teams. You know, they were one of the first teams to build the wall against Giannis. So, you know what I mean? And that's special. This is just Spoelstra. So let's hear what you got to say about Spo.
Spo is without a doubt the best coach in the NBA, in my opinion. He's been consistently, you know, a great coach. And it's so crazy that it's like, for even with how much talent you think is not available on that team, like, he takes those guys that you may, that's like, who has a chip on their shoulders, because that's who Miami drafts for some reason. They, all their role players are like either undrafted or late first round, maybe the last person drafted in the draft. Like, and they take those kind of players and they mold them into superstars. They mold them into stars. And that's just, and that has nothing to, that just has so much to do with the coaching and with the type of environment that has been created there by Spo and by, you know, the front office and things like that. So, but let's get into offense, though. So offensively, Spo is 100 without a doubt, 105, maybe 110, because you are making the most, you know, out of everything. I mean, for you to have Duncan Robinson, who can't defend, Tyler Hero, who can't defend, you know what I mean? Max Strus, who can defend a little bit, but like, these are like really key shooters, key scorers in their offense that have, they, he really takes and maximizes their potential. I mean, like, we've seen a little bit of what Tyler Hero was able to do when he was at, I think it was Duke. No, it wasn't Duke. What was the college he went
to? Kentucky.
When he was at Kentucky. But I didn't think that he was going to pull, that he was going to pull this. Like, he was going to become this in the league. He was going to become so valuable to a team. Duncan Robinson was undrafted. Who thought that he would become so valuable to a team through his shooting? Like, he is, he's like up there when it comes to catch and shoot threes. He's up there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, when you have Max Strus, so they just got, and it's just like, it just kind of completes the puzzle, like offensively with their triangle of shooting. And then you add Jimmy Butler. Jimmy, what is good? What is Jimmy Butler good at?
Defense and scoring and passing. He's everything.
Everything. But his main thing is that he is a mid-range shot creator. He lives and dies with the mid-range. He's like DeMar DeRozan, but better. It's just, he's like, lives and dies with the mid-range. And for a coach to recognize that off the top and like, don't put him in positions where he has to take the shot that he's not comfortable with, where he always has that shot that he's comfortable with. Like, and it's always the shot he's comfortable with. It could be leaning from the side, fade away, mid-range. It's all mid-range. He's not shot creating from the three. He's moving inside. He's going to catch the ball on inside. That's coaching. That's great coaching offensively. Defensively, Miami has always been a defensive monster, especially since they got Jimmy Butler. And so, and Bam Adebayo, and since they had, since they got Jimmy and drafted Bam, I mean, they've been a defensive monster. I would say that they are not as great as they have been in the past, but that does not take away from the greatness that they do have defensively that has been cultivated by Coach Spo. So I completely agree wholeheartedly. Spo is the best coach in the NBA, and I think that Curry is a close second.
Yeah. I agree, man. You ready to kick it to the next team?
Let's go.
All right, the next team is somebody that we're not going to talk about much since they have a new head coach that has no resumes. Milwaukee Bucks. Last year, team talent-wise, I give them 100 offensively and 100 defensively. It's not that complicated. Giannis, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Drew Holiday, Javon Carter, Jay Crowder, Joe Ingles, right? It was just Grayson Allen. So
Bobby
deep.
Portis.
So deep. Yeah. Bobby Portis. Good. That was a good one. Yeah. Offensively, defensively, they're so talented. Adrian Griffin doesn't get a rating because never coached before. So sadly, we can't really talk about that. So there will be probably a talking point next year because we both think the Milwaukee Bucks probably won't be the same quite team. So are you ready to kick it to the next team, or you got to have anything to say about the Bucks before we move forward?
No, because we don't know about Adrian Griffin, so I mean, we could talk about Bud if you want to, but I think Bud's great.
Yeah, me too. All right, you ready to kick it to the next team then?
Yeah.
All right, the next team up is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Offensive talent, give them an 87. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, you know what I mean? That team's got talent. Not D'Lo all the way through the year, but Mike Conley, I meant to say. So, and then defensively, we got Rudy Gobert. They got some length like Jaden McDaniels. Tashaun Prince was on that team last year. They had some length. They had some length in Rudy. So Rudy makes them a respectable to a certain amount. And head coach Chris Finch gets a 73 offensively and a 70 defensively. Chris Finch, he gets a 73 offensively because That man, since he's been there, has not figured out how to use Karl Anthony Towns. We have, I mean, that guy, Karl Anthony Towns, even when Anthony Edwards was like first year in the NBA, wasn't getting the most touches a game, wasn't getting the most field goal attempts in a game, which is freaking wild. It just looks like he lets Cat just play. It's Cat's talent that's scoring. It's not like, okay, we have him in the mid-range, in the mid-post, in the post, and we have this movement offense going around him so that, you know, there's cutters and the defender can't just double, right? And the defender may have to think about more than just Cat scoring, right? There's just nothing going on. It's a ridiculously stagnant offense. There's no off-ball movement whatsoever. It's so predicated on pick and rolls, guards trying to score, and just... It's high school level stuff. Like, oh wow, you run a pick and roll so advanced. I can't believe you do that. Like every other team runs a pick and roll. What else are you gonna do? And it's just a great coach would have been able to figure out how to use Cat with Rudy. Look, there is 50 years. Nope. Let me go here. 60 years of evidence of how to do this from the 1940s. To the year 2000, everybody had a power forward that was 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", 7 foot paired with a tall center, right? So there's 60 years of tape that Chris Finch could have gone into to find something that could have worked. I mean, we've been using the post power forward for years. Elvin Hayes, Calvin McHale, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, Tim Duncan and David Robinson. Like, there's a gazillion of these guys, right? So it's not that crazy to think, like, okay, all that tape and he just had Cat sitting at the three-point line? Cat was just standing at the three-point line. What are we doing, right? It's just a terrible use. It's just so bad offensively. And, you know, defensively, he just doesn't do anything unique. I feel like there's a lot of potential this year to have Cat and Rudy be, if you're going to force everything to the rim, it could have been interesting. Cat may not be a world-class defender, but he tries. And they could have been like Twin Towers-ish, like kind of like Giannis and Brooke Lopez. Like there could have been potential there to be really long and lanky, and we're going to give teams issues. But it was just kind of like Rudy's going to stand at the center position and Cat's going to be at the three-point line because somebody's going to space him out. And we're not going to figure out any unique ways. Like maybe you want to throw in a zone. Maybe you want to throw in some unique zones that were maybe a 3-2 zone, like when you have three people on the perimeter, two people on side, so that you wouldn't have to, they wouldn't be able to space Cat out to the 3-point line. Like, there's nothing creative to make this work. Chris Finch is just not an advanced defensive guy. He doesn't understand X and O's. He doesn't understand team leadership. He doesn't understand winning basketball. This team will always underperform. And it's a Karl Anthony Towns misuse from a million miles away. I mean, if this team would be in San Antonio, Pop would had a 51 team last year. Easy. Because Pat knows how to coach this type of team, but he doesn't. Yeah. So it is what it is. That's what I'm thinking. What are you thinking, Chris?
Oh my God. If you want to go a little further, Jay, you can even say that there is 73 years worth of history. Yeah. I'm sorry. 83 years worth of history. Yeah. It gets worse. 83 years worth of history that teaches you how to use the power four correctly. If you want to use Cat as a old school big guy where he's just going to just turn around, fade away, kind of a Hakeem Olajuwon kind of guy because he got the footwork, you know what I mean? And he can shoot. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to make him kind of like a Joel Embiid where he kind of more so like he can back down to the basket, kind of dunk on people, he can be that as well. And even if you wanted to make him a stretch forward, there's history that teaches you how to do that, that you can combine those two. Yeah. You can combine the era of the old school big man and the era of the new big man into Cat because he can do both. The offense side of things, and that's where I agree with you the most. Everything that you said, I agree with, right? Which there's not much we don't agree with that. But here, particularly with Cat, it shouldn't have taken this long. And they're literally... The fact that he's still, like, I understand that Cat is one of the best, if not the best, big man shooter in the NBA right now. I get it. He's without a doubt. He has the best percentages, like, literally. I understand that, but that don't mean sit him off in the corner. Like, I want to know what the offensive scheme that he's trying to run through, because you have so many small guys, right? And then, like, you can't put Cat anywhere. Rudy clogs the lane, so you can't do anything. So Cat is forced to the outside. Where if you could finally, if you could figure out some kind of way to kind of make it work where Rudy's there in the post, you know what I mean? And Cat's kind of like maybe free throw line extended or something like that, where he maybe can work around in the mid range. You can make that work. And you don't have to clog the lane so much. You set shooters around. I mean, we've done this. There's a podcast out there right now where we've built a team around Cat successfully.
True. With Popovich as the coach.
With Pop as the coach.
Yep.
And we've done this. So it's not hard. It's just whether or not you're able to do it. And you know what I mean? And this guy just clearly can't do it. How long has he been a coach there? Too long to not have done this already. Years.
I think that might be three.
That's too long. That's too long to be running the same offensive sets. Yeah. You got lucky 1 year and won the play-in. Had Pat Bev crying like he won the championship. 1 year you got lucky and you have not shown anything else. Why has Minnesota not fired you? Put they somebody else in place. The GM needs to go too as well because he's terrible at drafting. I mean, Anthony Edwards was a slam dunk. Cat was a slam dunk. Wiggins was a slam dunk. Levine was a slam dunk. But you don't have any of those people anymore. All you have is Ant and Cat left.
Yeah.
You don't have Levine. You don't have Wiggins. You had Jimmy Butler. You don't have him anymore.
Yeah.
It's defensively, he's a moron. Because how do you not use the gifts that you have and the talents you have defensively? You have Rudy Gobert, who was, two or three time defensive player of the year, like something crazy like that. Yeah. Even though it was in Utah and they used it where they pushed everything toward him and kind of was like, he didn't have no choice but get a block. But still, if you look, that's history there that you could look at and be like, oh, this is how we can use Rudy Gobert. And then maybe if I look at the San Antonio Spurs from the 90s, when they had the Twin Towers there, they had Duncan and the Admiral. Maybe you can see how to work with two big men.
A perfect example is Tyson Chandler with Dirk.
Yes. Oh, yeah, when they won the ring. Wasn't that 2011? That was when they won the ring.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler couldn't post. Tyson Chandler, only lob guy, but he won DPOY.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal rim defender.
That's what you have in Rudy. It's the same. More history.
Derek are not that different. Like, Dirk may be better, but Cat's that kind of guy, right? Yeah.
Both great three-point shooters. Both kind of can float with the mid-range and knock down shots.
Yeah.
You know, like.
It's wild.
Dirk isn't a dunker, but I mean.
Neither is Cat.
Neither is Cat. But he can do it sometimes, you know what I mean? He can float with the inside and get a nice post move. He has good post moves. I mean, more history to look at that's been ignored, and that's why he's not a good coach.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so glad we can be in agreement, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you ready to move to the next one?
That's right.
All right, this is going to be some seriously controversial opinions. All right, the New Orleans Pelicans. Last year, gave the team talent a 96. I mean, Zion healthy, obviously. Zion, Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, Trey Murphy III, Herb Jones, Jonas Valanciunas. You know, this team's really deep. And then we got defensively, got Zion. You know, we got Jose Alvarado, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy III. Team's really they got Dyson Daniels too, who's a younger guy, but he's also a really good defender. And Willie Green offensively, I gave him a 75, and defensively, I gave him a 75. Willie Green is a perfect example of a coach that is propped up by great talent, and people assume that he is a great coach because of that. It's just, this guy doesn't really bring any edges. I mean, he uses Zion the way that anyone would use him. Zion just plays free, right? He's just a playmaker. He plays. He has the ball in his hands. Nothing unique's happening there. And it's just, it's a basic NBA offense. It's, we have a guy that gets to the rim and we got shooters, right? It's very well built, right? You know, David Griffin's done a really good job there. It's tons of length. It's tons of shooting. We got CJ McCollum, Dejan Griffin got, right? Highly experienced guy, high volume, ball handler role. And we got Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram just plays like Brandon Ingram. And there's nothing special going on. There's no wow. They won't wow you with movement. They won't make you go, wow. There's just schemes are so great. The way he attacks matchups are so great. Like, you never said that once about Willie Green. It's just a very normal pick and roll heavy offense that's just not special. There's nothing unique going on here. That's just great talent offensively. And defensively, it's the same freaking thing. They got freaks everywhere other than CJ McCollum. Okay? Trey Murphy III is 6'8 with a 6'11 wingspan that moved.
Oh, nope, it did not. We're good. Okay, so yeah, you know, Trey Murphy III moves around like it's nothing. It's super easy for him. And then we got Herb Jones. Herb Jones is a world-class defensive talent. 6'8", freaky as well. Zion Williamson, have you seen that guy play defense? He covers so much ground. He's a shot-blocking threat wherever he is. He's basically like a, you know, shot block, secondary shot blocker, or the rim. Jonas Valanciunas may not be a great defender, but when you got freaks at the forward position that are, and you have Zion, like, it's not hard to have a good defense. You got Jose Alvarado, guard defender off the bench, like, Dyson Daniels, who can also guard, he's like 6'6". Like, this team's freaky, long, lanky, athletic, and that's all they are. They're known for being freaky, long, athletic. There's nothing else that you think about the Pelicans. Oh, they break down matchups. Oh, in the playoffs, they do X, Y, Z. No, it's just talent that's brought up this far. So, Willie Green's just an average NBA coach. Just completely average, maybe even below average. Like, the 20th best head coach in the league. So, what do you think about that, Chris?
Couldn't agree more. He's definitely propped up by talent. Like, you have Zion, I mean, when he plays, you know what I mean? But then you also have Brandon Ingram, and I think that he's more of an – he's like a pure scorer. He's an assassin, you know what I mean? You kind of just, that's the kind of guy you put the ball in his hands. He just kind of gets – he gets you buckets, you know what I mean? And of course, you have CJ McCollum, and he just – you know what he's going to bring, you know what I mean, offensively. You know exactly what he's going to bring. So it's kind of just – he was just gifted – a lot of good talent that he doesn't really feel like he doesn't create anything with that talent, though. That's the biggest problem. Yeah. And I think that's what you were touching on there, was that there's nothing that you go, ooh, wow, like the Spurs, like they had talent, but then they was like great at ball movement at one point. You know, that was like, wow, like this is coaching here. Or the Celtics of old with Ime Udoka. I mean, like, even though they're the same team now, but like he was like, wow, Jason Tatum defends now? Like, that's cool. That's the coaching. Yeah. There's nothing that I could point to and go, the coach did that. That's like literally all natural talent. Like, they kind of just play pickup out there and everybody just gets points when they want and defends when they want. It's like, essentially, that's what it is. They all just play 21. They play 21 on the big screen in front of millions of tens of thousands of viewers. It's probably not millions. I don't think nobody's watching New Orleans Pelicans basketball that much. But no offense. I don't think nobody's watching. Tens of thousands of people, possibly. You're just playing pickup. You're playing pickup basketball. They go out there and they, okay, we go dribble, pass. Okay, so next open shot, I'll take it. That's it. Yeah. It's nothing special. At least when they had Lonzo, it looked better.
Yeah.
It looked cleaner, but that was just, it doesn't. It's not given.
Yeah. Alrighty. You ready to kick it to the next team?
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun one to talk about. The New York Knicks, team talent-wise, gave them 93 offensively last year. I mean, Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, Quentin Grimes. I think Evan Fournier might still be on that team off the bench. And then we got defensively. Gave them 87 talent-wise. I mean, Julius Randle really isn't that good of a defender. Jalen Brunson's an average guy, but he's smaller, right? RJ Barrett's not that great. You know, Mitchell Robinson's a pretty solid defender, though. They had Josh Hart, right? So I would give Tom Thibodeau, head coach of the New York Knicks, offensively an 81 and defensively a 96. Tom Thibodeau, 81 offensively, though, let's take this with a grain of salt, because Tom Thibodeau used to be like 60s, 70s offensively. He has come a long way. They definitely run a lot more pick and rolls. They used to be really pass heavy, not pass heavy, but the ball would move, but nothing would be accomplished. It just felt like it was a very rustic offense with nothing really unique about it for a while. And the way they used Jalen Brunson, R.J. Barrett, and Julius Randle all at the same time, you know, the more volume threes, the more unique, more recent schemes that they've been running and using off-ball stuff, and there's movement. And it was definitely growth from Tom Thibodeau offensively. It's a pretty average, above-average offensive coach now. And, you know, defensively, though, he gets a 96 because that team played much better defensively than the talent that was on the floor. Okay, let's not act like that's not what happened last year, because they were respectable in the playoffs. And they were, you know, playing at the team talent, like defensively at like a 91, but the team talent was an 86. And that was because of Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau is great X and O's, guys. He's always been like this. He's always been really great defensively. He understands matchups. He understands how to teach defense. Everybody always tries, puts 100% effort. They communicate so well. They might not have a lot of great talent other than Josh Hart and Mitchell Robinson, but they did it with phenomenal coaching from Tom Thibodeau. So he gets a ton of respect from me defensively. He's also – he grew a lot offensively this year. It gets a lot of respect from me that way too. So – that's what I'm thinking about the Knicks. What are you thinking, Chris?
Yeah, I agree with that as well, because I think that the biggest tale of him growing offensively is how he seamlessly integrated Jalen Brunson.
True.
Like, it just seemed like he just always just fit on that team. Like, Jalen Brunson is like one of those high volume scorers, mm-hmm. can like go get you a bucket and things like that, and then you kind of just you figure out a way to integrate him easily, and then you figure out a way to make R.J. Barrett work, because you slide in R.J. Barrett sort of kind of out of position now, because normally he's kind of a ball handler, kind of that kind of guy, because he has a pretty decent IQ as far as that, as far as playmaking. So you kind of just move him out of the – you kind of moved him out of his normal position, but then you still make that work, because I think they moved him to the three this year.
And it really worked. Yeah.
It really, really, really worked. And they went pretty far. I mean, I have some qualms about that because they beat my Cavs. You know what I mean?
But the beat was fair and square.
They did beat us fair and square. And then you have, like, I mean, and then they've turned into such a young, deep team. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. And that's coaching, because I think it's quickly, right? And I just remember watching the game, which is a quick tidbit, watching the game, and he's just running down the court, killing us. Back and forth. I'm like, that is coaching. Yeah. That's definitely coaching. But definitely to be able to, you know, maximize the talent, that's one of the key things of a coach that I like to see. And I see Tibbs being able to do that, especially because he has grown offensively. I mean, once again, integrating Jalen Brunson, making the correct adjustments to make R.J. Barrett still as effective, if not more effective than he has been in the past.
Yeah.
And then also Julius Randle. I mean, Julius Randle has always been a pretty solid guy, but I think under Tibbs, he's grown a lot more offensively.
Yes.
So that's really good. And defensively, I mean, he's great. He's great. What else can you say? I mean, to have everybody buy into playing defense and to playing defense hard and to give it 110% on the defensive side of the ball, because a lot of those guys, especially like Jalen Brunson, you would expect him to just be a one-sided player and not a two-way player. I mean, a one-way player. Yeah. You would expect him to just, okay, I'm going to put all my effort on the scoring side, but I'm going to kind of be lackadaisical. But you even see him give an effort on the defensive side as well. Yeah. And that's nothing but a testament to Tibbs coaching defensively. So definitely give him props for that. So I agree.
Yeah, and a perfect example of this is no year in Tim Thibodeau's career would – Emmanuel Quickly be what Emmanuel Quickly was this year, right? He gave you 16 a game, was in like six man of the year conversation. If you haven't watched Emmanuel Quickly, he takes a lot of deep three-point shots. He's a high volume, really ridiculously tough shot creator. And Tom Thibodeau's viewpoint of what was a good shot and what was a bad shot wouldn't have allowed Emmanuel Quickly to get those attempts up. But his offensive growth is a good example of his ability to allow Emmanuel Quickly to have that freedom that he had last year that led to a great six-man success. So it's another really good example of his growth is, you know, the way he accepted Emmanuel Quickly's play style. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, you ready to kick it to the next team, or you have anything else to say?
Let's hit it.
Okay. The next team up is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Offensive talent-wise, to give them an 88. Defensive talent-wise, is a 72. Most people have no clue who the Oklahoma City's head coach is, so I'll say his full name. Mark Diagnulu. It's a tough name. D-A-I-G-N-E-A-U-L-T. You try to say that. See how it sounds. offensively, I give him an 88. Defensively, I give him a 74. Offensively, he gets an 88 because... Have you watched the way – I mean, they got so many ball handlers and passers. What's so tough about it is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, when he was with CP3 and before they got Josh Giddey and Jalen Williams, was a 6-7 assist game guy where we're like, man, Josh Giddey can score, but his best ability is like passing. Like, wow, he's such a good passer, right? So we're thinking Josh Giddey's going to be a passer who can score. Now he's a scorer who could pass, right? But, you know, you got to give that head coach a ton of credit for getting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander where he is now. But what's really phenomenal about it is Jalen Williams, when he came out of the draft, I was like, man, that's the best passing two guard in the draft by far. He was that in the NBA. Like, he had a great year. He was the best version of Jalen Williams that could have been this year. High volume passing, high volume ball handling. And to get all of that work with Josh Giddey, who is a phenomenal passer, basketball IQ guy, all working in the same offense at one time, and also getting the most out of them development-wise, is extremely impressive. That was like, wow. Okay, this guy's really good. Because it all those passers to work at once and ball handlers to work at once is way harder than it sounds. Okay, so he gets a ton of credit for that for me personally, man. Defensively, he gets a 74 because they do try on defense. It's not like doing anything unique. But this guy is really good coaching-wise. So what do you think, Chris?
Yeah. To see Shai Giddey and to work really well together, especially because I was seeing the coming out party of Shai. I think we talked about this not last year, but the year before, where he was like, he had a great year, great year where he was just like killing it. Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, playing phenomenally well, I think. And then when we saw Josh Giddey, I think we were like thinking that, okay, he's going to be more of a passer kind of guy. Like he's going to be like the primary ball handler. We're going to see him like kind of just passing, kind of getting people involved. But now he's turned into this guy who's like also a threat scoring wise as well. And that's just now you have so many weapons to use, and to be able to have these guys so young and they're developing and they're getting better and better every year. And now OKC is being looked at like, wow, OKC might actually be a threat coming in the next couple years because everybody sees Shai, sees Giddey, and sees the young talent they have, and they go,
I don't think Chet, too. It's interesting. Yeah.
It is. And I'm like, I don't think I want to play them. But he's like, I wouldn't want to either because they're just going to kill you. They have so many different ways to kill you. I mean, I'm sorry, to dismantle you. I put it that way. Dismantle you. Yeah. Passing-wise and scoring-wise, they can dismantle you like crazy. Because they all just have very high IQs, and that's one thing that can't truly be taught, but it can be cultivated. And I believe the coach did a very good job of doing that.
Yeah.
So, and defensively, like you said, it's nothing too special to it's nothing to wink an eye at, to bat eyelash at either. It's just it's a defense, and it works. It's a functional defense, so I can see a 75 there.
Okay, sounds good. Ready to kick it to the next team?
Let's run it.
All right, from one young developing team to another, we're going to talk about the Orlando Magic. Team talent-wise, last year I gave them a 77. Got Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, the guards, Wendell Carter Jr. And defensively, I gave them a 69. And Jamal Mosley, offensively, I gave him 87. Defensively, I gave him 84. I mean, this guy does a phenomenal job. I've been talking about how good Jamal Mosley is for years. This guy is a great young head coach. He's so good at using schemes and using different ways to get players open. He's so good at using, you know, even Marco Fultz and Cole Anthony to get in the pick and rolls. And the way that he, year one, got Paolo Banchero to grow more as a playmaker, 6'10 guy, and the spacing that they had on the floor. And to also still allow Franz Wagner to be at point forward while playing with Paolo Banchero was extremely impressive. And then you add Wendell Carter Jr. to all of that scoring wise and three and spacing and all the stuff Wendell Carter Jr. does. It was extremely impressive to watch. And then, you know, so that's why he gets an 87 offensively. And then we're going to go to defensively 84. This guy gets them to play really good defense. They'll throw in some zones. They're throwing some different looks. They play very competitively. You know what I mean? Jalen Suggs has been the best version of himself defensively. You know, when they had Mo Bamba, they used his talent extremely well, forced things to the rim. He was almost leading the league in blocks when they were playing with him. So he's just, he's very good. This is a very, very good young coach for the Orlando Magic, Chris.
Definitely, without a doubt. I love how, you know, just the young talent that he had there, especially with Paolo Banchero, Jalen Suggs, Wendell Carter. I just like what he was able to do. I think they even had Bol Bol at one point, too, or they still.
Yeah, because they cut him anymore.
They cut him, yeah. But so, like, we were seeing different levels, different offenses, different schemes, offensive schemes, and different players like really shining so much, especially with Paolo. I think Cole Anthony is on the team too. Like, they have a lot of young talent, and he always has been. And since he has came into the league and started with the Orlando Magic, he has been able to maximize the potential of every player. Especially like, I mean, like Paolo Banchero wasn't truly raw. You know what I mean? He was a number one pick, so he had to have some kind of like, you know, he had to be, you know, have some kind of
advanced talent, NBA ready talent.
That's a better word. That's a better phrase. NBA ready talent. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like he was extremely raw, but still to be able to, you know, coach that, you know, that caliber of player and get him to what you had him as last year. And then you have a player like Bol Bol who was like, who sat on the bench for majority of his rookie season. And even after that, and to have him come in, and now you look at it, everybody's looking at Bol Bol like, wow, where did this guy come from? You know, and just to have, you know, so I think offensively, I think what he's been able to do offensively with the talent that he had is fantastic. And I hope that they continue to grow defensively as well. I mean, like, you have all, you have these defenders on there, you know, you have guys who are willing to buy into the system and defend well. So I think he's great.
Alrighty, you ready to kick it to the next team? Next team up is the Philadelphia 76ers. Team talent-wise, given a 96 last year. Tyrese Maxey, James Harden, Joel Embiid. Not a lot of great depth behind it. Shake Milton, you know what I mean? Not a lot of depth there. But defensively, I gave them the 89 last year. You know, PJ Tucker, Joel Embiid, really special guys defensively. But James Harden is so terrible. Old James Harden, yeah, that guy can't defend it to save his life. Okay, so then coach-wise, Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse is the new head coach of the 76ers. Offensively, I gave him 97. Defensively, I gave him 98. This guy's been, you know, oddly underrated after winning a ring. Basically, the Toronto Raptors are a team that people view as a team that did should be better than what they were, and that's why they fired Nick Nurse. Well, it's not his fault that he had to put Scottie Barnes, who can't shoot mid-range jumpers reliably, with Pascal Siakam at the same time, right? Like, that just didn't fit because spacing is so important in the modern NBA, and it just did not work with those two together at the same time, and, you know, he's got forced to have to coach Jakob Poeltl, but that guy got the most out of that team for so long. Let's give that man credit for turning Fred VanVleet from undrafted to Fred VanVleet, right? Okay, let's give him some credit for getting second-round draft pick Pascal Siakam to go from nobody knows who Pascal is to, oh, he's on an NBA championship team, he's a very good player now, right? And then we go into the next year, and, oh, Pascal's 20 and whatever. Then the year last year, Pascal was averaging like 25, 10, 25, 8, and being a phenomenal defender. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. like, let's give him his props. OG Anunoby went from bench player to OG Anunoby. Every GM wants him. OG Anunoby, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this guy has been maximizing talent for years and nobody cares. I'm just like, what in the world are we talking about? He's a great scheme guy. He understands matchups. He gets his team to play phenomenal defense. He understands ball movement, passing. They have, you know, belief in three-point shooting. This guy is phenomenal and gets no credit for it, and it's just amazing to watch.
Yeah. That's like the best I've heard somebody speak about Nick Nurse in a while. Because it's true, though. He really has won a ring and then has continuously been disrespected since.
Yes. Yep.
To be able to maximize the way that he has, I mean, Pascal Siakam, for one, I'm going to go there. You know, like,
yes!
The guy who was like second round pick. Nobody really wanted him.
Couldn't really handle coming in the league.
Couldn't do anything that well, and now look at him, 25, and he was dropping, like, he had like 30 point games stuff like that. Like, literally was he should have been moving into being the face of the franchise, but they didn't want to do that. Why?
I don't even think he made the All-Star team.
That's what I'm saying. Snub after snub after snub.
Yeah.
Then you have Fred VanVleet, who was undrafted.
Yes. Yes.
Undrafted. Let's talk about that. I think that's the biggest thing. Fred VanVleet was undrafted. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
They pair him with, trade for Kawhi. I mean, no, Kawhi. Yeah, they trade for Kawhi.
Yeah.
He leaves the Spurs, comes to the Toronto Raptors. They pair him next to each other, and that team explodes and becomes a whole different team under Nick Nurse's leadership. Completely a different team. Fred VanVleet becomes a different player. Now, he looks like he could be the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
Or a close second. And now he's going to be paid, what, $100-something million?
In 120, something like that, for 3 years. $40 million a year.
From undrafted to $120 million?
Yeah. And Nurse gets zero credit.
Zero credit for that.
Yeah.
And then Scottie Barnes, I mean, like, I've never seen him as a true, like, a scoring guy. I've always seen him as a high defensive guy. So, like, you already know what you're pretty much going to get out of Scottie, in my opinion. So, like, even with what he was able to accomplish, I mean, I feel like the big problem we have here in Toronto was not Nick Nurse, but it's more so front office and fit.
Yes.
Because they're forcing something.
The credit went to the wrong person.
Truly. Everybody was like, Masai Ujiri. No, it should have been Nick Nurse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And, like, defensively, like I said, they have all the tools defensively to defend very well. I mean, they had Fred VanVleet. They had Scottie Barnes, who, like I said, I've always thought of him more as a defender than anything.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam, who's long. He's created this game. I think we talked about this probably not recently. I think it might have been a year ago or whatever, when we talked about how Toronto Raptors is built. How it's, like, they're so long. They're so tall. All of them are, like, 6'8", 6'7", 6'6", at the shortest, probably. And they all defend very well, and they just kind of just make it very tough on teams, because no other team has that kind of height, you know, built like 1 through 5 and then, you know, 1 through 12 all the way down. So it's like crazy. I think they even had Corey Joseph at one point.
Yeah.
Maximized him.
I mean, they literally had the worst starting two guard in the league the last year, Gary Trent. Yeah. Gary Trent was their two guard. Okay. What?
I'm telling you, Nick Nurse, I just saw him like, who? But Nick Nurse deserves his flower. He's one of those coaches that needs to be respected more.
Yes.
Because that team would not be what it is without Nick Nurse. And we're going to see that this year.
Yeah. I expect them to fall off a cliff this year, honestly. No Fred VanVleet, not touching 40 wins. Maybe 35. I'll say 35. 32, 33.
Yeah, because they keep trying to trade Pascal Siakam away, and I don't know why.
Yeah. Already ready to kick it to the next team? You got something else to say?
No, let's go.
All right, the next team up that we're going to talk about last year's team talent is the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns got offensive talent of 100. I mean, when you have KD, Devin Booker, CP3, DeAndre Ayton, Cameron Artis Payne, it's pretty easy to walk your way into 100 there. Defensively, talent-wise, I gave them an 80. They still did have Josh Okogie. CP3 may not be, like, the world-class on-the-default defender he used to be, but he's still ridiculously smart defensively. And then you add on, so they had some long wings I can't think of off the top of my head, off the bench. So then we go into the head coach. The head coach now is Frank Vogel. who gets a 60 offensively and a 97 defensively. This is 60 offensively. Oh, Jason, why would you give him a 60 offensively? Well, when he was coaching the Lakers, the third best scorer was Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma's averaged like 11 a game. Okay, Kyle Kuzma went from pre-Frank Vogel 16 to 18 a game, post-Frank Vogel 19 a game. So, you know, that's how bad Frank Vogel is. Frank Vogel is a terrible offensive coach. Only reason why they won that ring was because LeBron James is LeBron James, and that is an offense in its own self. Okay. True. So, that's the only reason why they looked, you know, semi-okay offensively. But, you know, this guy is really terrible offensively. But defensively, he's very good. They understand. He understands switchability, understands schemes, he understands versatility, he understands how to break down other teams' matchups, he understands X and O's, he understands where to place things. You know, he's very good. You know, AD was super switchable with Frank Vogel, and that was the best defensive AD we've seen with the Lakers. So, you know, they were just really tough defensively, and they had Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, and they were really edgy and really tough. So, you know, he's a very good defensive coach. So what do you think about that, Chris? Talking about those two things.
Yeah. So offensively, I think he's terrible. I think that, you know, truly he couldn't teach offense if it's to save his life.
Yes.
It's just he really got carried off of talent offensively. You know, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. I mean, you know what you're going to get, especially when Anthony Davis was playing at that level then, and I would like to see him go back to that level, but he was playing at a high level then. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should talk too much about offense, but defensively, that's where he truly shined. I mean, I think they had the number one defense that year. Like,
so
it was
too.
Something crazy, like, to get everybody to play defense. I mean, they were trapping everything, you know what I mean? Getting so many stops. Caruso was being used to the best of his abilities.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's a great defensively.
Yeah.
JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard was giving Jokic the business.
Yeah.
It was crazy that it was so many different defensive schemes, so many switches, you know, switching everything, really maximizing the talent defensively. So I would give him high praise for his defense, but his offense, I would give him nothing because he's not good offensively at all.
No.
But defensively, he's a great coach.
Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more, man. All right, you ready to kick it to the next one?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, the Portland Trailblazers, team talent-wise, I gave him 88 last year. Defensively, I gave him 68. 88's pretty obvious. Dame Lillard, Anthony Simmons, Jeremy Grant, Josef Nurcic, right? I mean, Shaedon Sharpe. They had some talent there. Defensively, though, you know, you got Josh Hart, Matisse Thybulle, and nothing else. So that's why they get 68 defensively. Chauncey Billups, though, offensively, 89. I mean, this guy did a really good job of using Dame the way he did, pairing him with Anthony Simmons, who Anthony Simmons was like, okay, if there was no Damian Lillard and there was no Scoot Henderson, Anthony Simmons would be a point guard, right? Like, he's a modern point guard. So to get Chauncey to get both of those guys working well together was extremely impressive. Jeremy Grant had a really great year underneath Chauncey Billups. I mean, Jeremy Grant, like, averaged 23 a game. Like, he was doing really well, you know what I mean? And then you add defensively, he gets a 92 because, man, schematically were they good. They did a great job of stopping corner threes. It was everybody's putting in 100% effort. It was really special to watch. They moved so well. They switched so well. They understood matchups. They understood the way the other team's going to try to attack them. It was special coaching. They just don't have talent defensively. And it's sad. But, you know, Chauncey Billups, the record of the Portland Trailblazers does not match the coach at all. This guy needs to be the guy there for the next 5 years. I mean, I really hope that they don't get caught up in trying to get in a new coach because no Dame. So, yeah, what do you think about that, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Chauncey Billups is definitely – I think that the talent, you know, did not quite match, you know what I mean, the coach per se.
Yeah.
Because but offensively, they were great. You know what I mean? You have Dame. You have Anthony Simons. You got Jeremy Grant. I mean, for Anthony Simons to take such a leap, I mean, like, he was making leaps, like, years prior. But, like, for now, like, looking, like – great right now, and that's something that can be attributed to coaching. I mean, Dame's going to be Dame. Jeremy Grant, you know, the offensive schemes are able to run and things like that. And everything looks great, you know, offensively. Defensively, Chauncey Billups came from one of the best defensive teams in NBA history. Yep. I mean, so, like,
yes,
it's just that he just didn't have anybody who he could, like, scheme, who could create a scheme with, but he still was able to make something happen out of what he had.
Yes.
I mean, they had Josh Hart for a little bit. I mean, and that's when the defense was the best, and then they traded away Josh Hart. He was like, now what do I have? And he still
is Matisse Thybulle, but he can't shoot. Yeah, it's tough.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like, he's like, what do I have now? Like, so he still was able to maximize them defensively as well. I mean, to get, you know, I think that once Dame leaves, he will really truly be able to take the full reins of the Portland Trail Blazers completely and, like, kind of be able to maybe maneuver a little bit. Maybe the GMs can kind of get some defensive talent back. He can make that team better, a lot better than what it is.
Somebody that could be a good defender in the future is Scoot Henderson. Like, that's him true. With Chauncey, because Scoot's like Ja, where he does take possessions off and he was a little more raw defensively, but a talent like that going to Chauncey, he could be a really good guard defender in the future. Yeah.
That's true. Who better to learn from? So
Chauncey.
Right. Yeah. And Chauncey.
Yeah. All right, you ready to kick it to the next team?
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next one's going to be the team that shocked the world last year, the Sacramento Kings. Team talent-wise, offensively, give them a 93. I mean, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, DeMontis Sabonis, Kevin Herter, Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, Trey, that really long 6'10 power forward that they bring off the bench that shoots. Trey Lyles. You know what I mean? Tons of bench talent. Davion Mitchell. And then defensively, you know what I mean? I gave them an 80 and 84 defensively because, I mean, DeMontis Sabonis is not naturally a good defender. De'Aaron Fox is not known to be a good defender. Kevin Herter is a little tight. You know what I mean? Malik Monk's not a good defender. Davion Mitchell is, but, you know, Harrison Barnes isn't athletically good enough defender yet, but Keegan Murray has a good body to become a good defender, but he was a rookie, right? Trey Lyles can't guard the wing, right? So, you know, not a ton of talent there defensively. Mike Brown, though, gets a 98 offensively and a 99 defensively. You know, Mike Brown is the story that everybody wants Frank Vogel to be, that guy that used to be a phenomenal defensive coach, but then hits the offensive side of it too. I mean, he gets a 98 offensively because the Golden State Warriors off-ball movement offense, baby, that was basically the principles. It's a little different, but it's the same principles of movement, passing, believing the value of the pass, believing the movement, the off-ball movement. You know, the dribble handoffs with Kevin Herter and DeMontis Sabonis that nobody wanted to see. The way that Malik Monk was stepped up in the playoffs and De'Aaron Fox, you know, stepping up, being more consistent offensively, choosing when to shoot, much more better shot selection, the best way I could put it. You know what I mean? And DeMontis Sabonis use and the way he used the shooting and how dominant they were at the 3-point line and the spacing of it all, it was just poetry in motion. And Mike Brown gets a 99 because if I said how good was the Sacramento Kings defense last year, you'd say like a 92, 93, and I said the talent was an 84. Okay, well, it makes sense why Mike Brown was Mike Brown. I mean, did you see De'Aaron Fox running around, chasing around Steph Curry? He would have never done that any year previously in his career because he wasn't known as a defender. But now De'Aaron Fox is a good defender. You know what I mean? Like, the best version of Malik Monk defensively was him. Best version of Kevin Herter defensively was him. I've never seen DeMontis Sabonis move like that in my life. I don't know. I think they trimmed some pounds off of him, like maybe 5 to 10 pounds, and I think really added to his feet being able to move better. You know what I mean? Keegan Murray was probably the best defender he could have been year one because he was really valuable as their main wing defender. You know what I mean? So it was special what Mike Brown did last year, and that was so much fun to watch. So what do you think, Chris?
Yeah, he's being under, you know, he really just used that Golden State offense, you know, to the best of his, to like, And like, and it's so crazy that
the remix, the Golden State Warriors offense remix.
He remixed it. He looked at his personnel and he was like, okay, you fit here, you fit here, you do this, you do that. And it worked. It's just crazy that that offense is so malleable. I guess you could say that's a good word.
Good
malleable.
Word. Yeah.
It's so malleable because it's like you could just fit anybody in there and then it absolutely works. And that's great coaching to be able to get to people to buy into an offense that beats everybody that they have probably lost to before. You're like, we're going to run the exact same thing you're running.
Golden State was like, this fucking sucks. I never had...
I'm just gonna run the same thing that you're running, and you can't do anything to stop it because I can't stop it when you run it.
That's so true.
So offensively, he gets high marks from me because he was able to take their offense. You know what I mean? Because he's not just a he wasn't just under Kerr. He was also under Pop at one point. Take those two brilliant minds coaching and put them in like, you know, take as and absorb as much, you know, knowledge from them both as possible and create an offense that fit his team perfectly.
Yes.
Like to get and they bought into it and they ran it like nobody else.
Yeah.
And defensively, to get those guys who probably wouldn't have defended before, who was De'Aaron Fox was more so like a one-way player. He would only score a lot. He was really being really quick. Really quick, but his nickname was Swiper, so I'm like, why are you not getting steals? But
now he is.
Now he is. It definitely has maximized the potential of every player on that court. Kevin Herter in Atlanta wasn't who he was defensively, but Mike Brown has maximized the potential of every player on that court defensively and they have become the best version of themselves defensively.
Yeah.
Defensively. Not only do they fit into the system offensively, but now they even fit into the system defensively. And this is the coach for the Sacramento Kings. I can't believe I'm saying this. For the foreseeable future, you should not get rid of him ever because you have done some dumb things in the past, Sacramento. I have not forgotten what you did to Boogie.
I mean, this has got to be one of your favorite teams. Honestly, he took De'Aaron Fox from an okay guy to like, man, is De'Aaron Fox better than Trae Young and Ja Morant? Right? Like I honestly think De'Aaron Fox now is better than Trae Young and Ja Morant. It's all because of the defensive side of the basketball.
Mm.
And we know he can drop 28 and 8 offensively, right? So, really efficiently. So, man, he made De'Aaron Fox from a star to a superstar in 1 year. Incredible. All right, you ready to kick the next scene?
Let's go.
All right, from one great coaching talent to the godfather of coaching talents, the San Antonio Spurs is who we have next. Team talent-wise, gave him a 73. Defensively, gave team talent-wise a 72. Nothing crazy here. We all know they suck talent-wise. Greg Popovich is 100 offensively, 100 defensively. Wow, who knew that was coming? This team would have 10 wins a season for the past 5 years. It was with Greg Popovich. They use off-ball movement so well. They, whatever talent they do have, they use Keldon Johnson, Mikael Branham, Devin Vassell, you know what I mean? All this off-ball movement that's really boring to watch, but they play great defense, team defense, schemes, all that type of stuff. I don't need to talk too much about why Greg Popovich is a phenomenal coach. I feel like everybody understands this. So, Chris, what do you got to say?
I feel like I didn't talk about it either. I mean, I can go back years and talk about my favorite memory of the Spurs, even though it's a terrible memory and I don't like remembering it, but it was so beautiful to watch, was when they played the Cavs.
Yeah.
And the way they moved the ball.
Yes. Ball movement, baby.
Every shot was an open shot.
Mm-hmm. Great shot, Sasha.
We got great Sasha Luxon. But even now, I mean, like, if it wasn't for Pop, based on the talent that they have not had a true definitive star.
Since DeJounte Murray?
I mean, DeJounte Murray.
not a star. Yeah. A borderline all-star. Yeah.
Borderline. Yeah. But now they have Wimby.
Yeah.
So, like, they finally have a star, and you put next to Pop. Perfect. They haven't had a star in a long time. So, for them to still be... I mean, they're not playoff contenders anymore. Not by a long shot. But at least they're still hanging in there.
Yeah.
They're not losing every game. So, that's nothing but a testament to Coach Pop and how he's able to maximize the limited talent that he has to be good enough to win a game.
Agreed. Agreed. All right, you ready to kick in the next one?
Let's Let's go.
All right, next team up is the Toronto Raptors. Sadly, their coach is no longer there, so we can't talk about the coach. But the team talent-wise for the Toronto Raptors, gave them offensively a 77 last year. You know, Pascal, Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent sucks. You know, the new beast, Scotty Barnes. Jokic Pertl, nothing crazy. Defensive talent-wise, they gave him an 85, though. Pascal, Scotty, OG. Christian Koloko was becoming that, but Jakob Pertl's a really bad defender. Fred VanVleet's just never going to be a good defender due to the athletic restraints. Gary Trent can't really defend, so that's why they're averaging out 85. Their new coach has never coached before, so we can't really talk about him. Darko Rajatovic, tough name. So you want to go ahead and kick it to the next team, or do you have anything you want to say on the Toronto?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. So the next team up is the Utah Jazz, a really good surprise team. Offensive talent, team talent-wise, they gave them a 76. And defensively talent-wise, they gave them a 73. You know, Laurie, all their bench players, Colin Sexton. There's so many guys on that team that are just pretty good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And their head coach is Will Hardy. I gave his offense a 96, defense an 82. I mean, the way that – they had such a great passing system. The ball moved so well. Everybody was unselfish. The maximization of Lauri Markkanen before nobody really even believed Lauri could ever be that, right? And he did a hell of a job year one. This guy, they hit a gold mine with this guy as a new head coach. He's so young too, so he's going to be their future head coach for the rest of the time. And he gets 82 defensively because they have that one kid from Auburn that I can't think of his name right now. They drafted, but they really do a great job of forcing everything to him. The maximization of the talent there, they play much better defense than what the talent is. So it's why I'm getting 82. So what do you think about that, Chris?
Yeah, without a doubt, Utah definitely surprised me.
Yes,
I'll give him his flowers for sure. Yeah. Because. After losing Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles, I was like, this team is going to suck. They're going to lose every game. I mean, like, they don't have anybody. And I was shut up very quickly because as soon as they play the game and you see that score and you're like, man, like, Lori's doing this?
Yes. Nobody believed Clarkson in that first, what? Too. Yeah.
No, nobody believed. Jordan Clarkson is doing what?
Yeah. True.
What? I mean, like, offensively, like, he's a young coach, so he's going to be with them for a long time, and they should not get rid of him anytime soon. Like, don't let the fact that you're not winning, that you haven't been to the playoffs, or if you go to the playoffs and you lose, don't let that deter you, because this is the guy that you want continuously coaching this team. You want them to grow along with this coach.
Yeah.
Because he is doing such a phenomenal job with them. Year one, to turn this, for them to even pull out a one seed with no star, it's ridiculous. I mean, they didn't finish with a one seed, but they had a one seed at some point in the season. I remember that because I was shocked. They went on like a crazy win streak right after they did all the trades. They were and they were a one seed. To even pull out a one seed, I mean, that's huge. I'm excited to see what they look like next year. You have defensively. I mean, you have some great personnel defensively. I think Colin Sexton is a pretty decent defender. Yeah. I remember watching him in college and high school. So, I mean, I will give him good marks on defense and offense as well, but I just think that this is the guy to stay with the Utah Jazz, and I can't wait to watch the Utah Jazz next year.
Me too.
What he was able to do this year.
Alrighty, you ready to kick it to the last team we're going to talk about today?
Sure.
Alright, a team that's perennially had a bad coach. I think they've had the longest streak of having not at least an above-average coach in the NBA. Washington Wizards. Team talent-wise, offensively, they gave him an 83. Defensively, they gave him a 73. Bradley Beal, Kyle Kuzma, Danny Atavilla. Man, that team's tough to think about. It makes my brain think about wanting to just change the channel. Defensively, they gave him a 73. Not a ton of talent there. Wes Unseld, their head coach, who most people probably don't know, is a head coach. Wes Unseld's, like, grandson or son. Gets offensively 79 and defensively 72. It does nothing special. There's nothing unique going on here. It's just average pick and roll running. Bradley Beal's also gone downhill since he's become the coach, so I'm not going to give him a ton of credit. He went from like 28, 30 a game. Wes Unseld gets there 25, 22. So, here we are. 73 defensively because he does nothing special. This is a good example of a very below average NBA head coach. I'm very surprised that they didn't fire him and hire Mike Budenholzer, but that's just me. What do you think about that, Chris?
Yeah, you had they had Kristaps Porzingis.
Brad yeah, Hill, that's right.
Kyle Kuzma.
Forgot about him for a second.
Yeah, they had a decent squad, and they just did not. They were not able to do anything. Absolutely nothing. No wonder Bradley Beal wanted out.
Yeah,
it's the coaching. Yeah. It's the coaching. You get tired of losing. I mean, I will say this. I mean, from Kyle Kuzma leaving the Lakers and I'm wanting him off the Lakers to him going to the Washington Wizards and being a better player.
Yeah.
I see the correlation, but I don't think I can attribute that to the coach because I haven't seen anything since. I haven't seen any true growth besides like that one instance.
And it's more Frank Vogel's fault than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I can't really like accredit him with that, but I mean, it's nothing to it's like they run basic offense, pick and roll. It's really nothing that you can really say too much about defensively. I mean, they're functional. So
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't fire him. But Mike Budenholzer does
there's
have
there's nobody on the list. So is there anything else you want to say, Chris? Okay, sounds good. Well, thank you guys for listening to the podcast. It's going to be the end of the podcast. Next week, we're going to have something new and intriguing fun for you guys. Everything that we're going to talk about this offseason is going to be regular season type stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys can definitely want to tune in and check that out. So, I'm Jason Collins.
Yeah, I'm Chris Mohammed.
And we're the Basketballics.
Peace.
Ouch.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.